You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
My name's Dan.
My name's Jenny.
Giddy up. Giddy up has ulterior meaning.
Oh, I like how you wove that in.
Yeah. Season 2, episode 10, The Tangled Web. Air date, November 10th, 1993. This one starts off with some super ugly plants and shrubbery.
Yeah, I don't know what is happening at Melrose Place, but
they
are letting their plant, like, I can't talk. I let every plant I come into contact with does eventually die. I do not have a green thumb, but you'd think that Melrose Place could hire, like, gardeners. They got a pool guy out there all the time.
Amanda's landlord duties have fallen to the wayside.
It looks so bad.
It's Jack, and she's just stealing from her tenants.
Okay,
now.
So Amanda walks down from her apartment, and she is in
it's funky music.
Ugliest. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ugliest robe.
Ugliest robe I've ever seen.
It rivals Allison's Old Faithful.
It's like this red terry cloth with weird, like, military-style pockets on the breasts, and it's just horrible. Sneaking down. She's getting her newspaper, but I guess they have, like, sprinklers, or, like, they just had a gardener come in, and around the plants is really wet, and her newspaper is sopping wet. So she sees Allison and Billy's doorstep, and they have a nice dry newspaper, so she runs over to do a little switcheroo, and as this is happening, Allison walks out the door.
And she's like, oh, we're going to work. Is this a full week I'm getting to the office before you?
Yeah, that's what she says to Amanda. And Amanda, of course, is like, oh no, everyone's going to think that Allison works harder than me. Mm-hmm. So Allison does not catch on that she's switching the newspapers. And Amanda runs on up to her apartment where Jake is waiting for her.
And I feel like this scene is important because this is the first time, like, they're, like, literally just making fun of the fact that Amanda doesn't care about Allison's feelings, thoughts. She's just walking downstairs. She's like, oh, I'm just going to take Allison's. Fuck her.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? So, like, this is whatever Amanda says. If she says she likes Allison, she clearly doesn't respect her because she's stealing somebody's paper.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
She goes into her apartment and Jake is waiting for her and he's trying to put the moves on her. And she's like, Jake, I like to keep nocturnal activities nocturnal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake makes people lazy. Like, more than half of Jake's scenes are lying in bed.
Yeah.
And being like, what's eat?
He's my type of guy. Like, let's lay in bed and eat weird breakfast.
Let's put whipped cream on people's feet and lick it off all day.
Yum. So she is rushing to get off to the office so she can, you know, show Allison that she's committed to her job. And she says to Jake, I know for a fact that you need to be at work too. My daddy doesn't like his people being late.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, okay. Whatever,
this whole,
Amanda,
like, my daddy thing is getting really old really quick.
It's stupid.
So Billy rolls into his office, and he walks up over to his desk, and there is this brunette woman just sitting there chain-smoking at his desk, and as soon as Billy walks up, she just starts barking orders at him, like, hey, are you my assistant? Go get me a cup of coffee. What is this place like? Are you going to tell me to put my cigarette out? Hey, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to...
Billy's just like, you can't smoke in here. And who smokes? Ugh. Who's smoking indoors?
Damn, this is 93.
I know, but it, just the thought of it, like, it's good to know, like, we've come so far that that is, like, that's, like, one, disgusting, and two, just unheard of today.
Smoking indoors, yeah. Like, in an office place?
Yeah. It's just like, what? If I saw anybody smoking at my work, I would be like, pack your shit.
Like, I mean,
what is going on? With, like, are you, you're having a breakdown?
It's a different time. And
but it's just like when Sydney was smoking in Jane's apartment, and she's like, oh, I forgot.
No,
like, I mean, that would get you kicked out of somebody's house today.
Babe, people that smoke, smoke indoors.
But he'd be like,
you,
I forgot.
You were a smoker for like 15 years.
I was.
And you but would smoke indoors?
I would smoke indoors, but I didn't. That was in like college, and I still didn't like it. I preferred smoking outside.
Okay. Anyway.
But she. So, all right. This woman, Selena Morales, played by Melanie Smith, she is known for her work on the new show Gotham.
I'm sorry, you're about to pour your coffee out onto the floor.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you were like that, and I saw it at the edge almost gonna fall out.
Guys, I'm sucking down a like bucket of coffee. Good morning. Every Saturday, I allow myself one small Keurig K-cup and then a big Keurig K-cup in my big best dad ever coffee mug.
So that's right, we're adding to landfills.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, anywho, she's known for Gotham, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that's where she looked for familiar. Yeah.
As the World Turns, and interestingly, the show Raven, which rivaled Melrose Place's time slot during season one.
Hmm.
So they took.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. But yeah, and like, so Billy finally gets a word in and he's like, this is my desk. And she's like, oh, oops, sorry. And then he like goes in to like fix up his desk and there's a full ashtray of like, I don't know, 10 cigarettes. How many cigarettes has this woman smoked? And
this is the morning. Like, yeah. She just got into work.
She has a lot of stress.
And my question is, why in the world would she think that that is her desk? There is an 8x10 photo on the desk. We see the back of the photo, but it's not until later on in the episode that we
it's
see
just Allison's what elbows. Allison's elbows. Like,
it's like, one of Allison's really strange glamour shots that Keith had.
Yeah, Keith had
900 of them.
Maybe that picture is what drove Keith insane.
It's
just
bad.
Just staring at her elbows.
But it's just like, why would she go in and be like, yup, this is my desk? It's like, obviously someone is sitting here. But anyway, we go on to the next scene, which is Michael knocking at an apartment door, which is where Kimberly is staying. So needless to say, she's not thrilled to see him. She says that she's going back to Cleveland and that she just can't deal with all the drama. And Michael is trying to convince her to stay, saying, you're such a good doctor. The hospital needs you. I'll leave you alone. But really, you don't throw away your career because of me.
Could you picture Kimberly like living her life in Cleveland? No.
Yeah.
LA, she belongs in the city of angels.
She is an angel.
She is an angel, from
baby.
Heaven.
Well,
that face, that demeanor, she's built for Los Angeles.
She's the best. She really is the best. But we can all see that Michael has ulterior motives. And I know he's the type of guy that he's like, if I can just get her to stay at the hospital, and then maybe we can like go into the friend zone, and then maybe we can go out to lunch again, and then I can just get her back under my claws.
And may I say that I enjoy professional Michael. Like, he's very calculated, and like, I like, you could tell he plays like a good doctor. Like, regardless of his personal life, he seems like he's a really great doctor.
Like, you'd want to be operated on by him?
Yeah. Like, he's like, Kimberly, we practice great medicine together. And he's like, you're a good doctor. This team needs you. He's just like,
yeah.
Dan, but that's right all on. Freaking lies. You can't, you know Michael Mancini. You know he doesn't but really mean that.
I'm just saying he turns on like this professionalism that I'm like, all right.
He's got you under his spell
he
too.
He gets me. He I got
He's him. Great. I'm like, I can't deny it. I love Michael Mancini too. But in this moment, Kimberly isn't digging him. She can't even make eye contact with him. She says, I'll consider staying, but you need to leave. So at least Michael is kind of like,
this
yeah.
This is a little foot in the door.
Yeah, exactly.
A tiny foot in the door.
So we're off to D&D, where Steve McMillan and Amanda and Allison are looking at photos. And the photo that they have up on this projector slide is Steve laying on the ground with a computer.
Yes, I remember in previous episodes I said that I might have seen him laying with a computer, and I was right.
Why would they think that this is going to effectively sell computers? He's literally laying on his side, like cradling this like old school laptop.
When average minds get together, they come up with this. And by average mind, I mean Allison and Joe.
It's pretty bad, guys.
And, yeah, so, like, Amanda has to basically leave the room. She's like, guys, this is probably bad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
She's so, like, hey, I just want to let you all know that we're relying heavily on the way Steve looks in these photos, and these photos suck.
She doesn't say the photos suck. She says that they're selling this high-tech product, and a lot of consumers rely on the technology piece of it, and because they're using Steve's face to try to sell it, and the beauty of the computer alone, she doesn't think it's going to be successful. However, I may argue, though, that
don't.
For going back, going ahead, you know, 10, 15 years, that was the Apple campaign with the iPhone and the iPod. It's all about the sleek, beautiful.
There wasn't like a man holding the iPod.
Yeah,
all the original iPhone, iPod ads was the phone and a finger, like swiping and touching stuff. And they'd be like, do you want to do that? Okay, we'll
yeah,
go do
but
that.
I remember a lot to do was made about how gorgeous it was and how like beautiful it is.
Yeah, design was heavy. But
anyway, that's just a little footnote. I'm just saying that okay, I get your argument that Steve isn't the
Steve couldn't sell me diaper rash cream for Moxie. And I don't really need
Why?
A lot. It's just the first thing that popped in my head. God. Steve couldn't sell me coffee creamer.
Okay.
But I do prefer a certain coffee creamer.
Okay, we need to work on our analogies.
So basically, so the lights are off in this room. They're going through the slides of the campaign again. And Allison notices that Joe and Steve are like kind of holding hands during the slide presentation. And she has, it cuts to her face and she's like, huh? I can't deal with it.
Yeah, like exactly.
She doesn't like it one bit.
And that's when Amanda says, you know, I don't think this is going to work. We really have to be careful about this. And she leaves the room and
Steve
follows. And then Joe says, well, just when you think it's working out. And then Allison like really bitterly says, well, at least in the romance department it is. Then Joe says, yeah, you'd have to be crazy to walk away from something like that.
Right.
And of course, this hits home to Allison, like, I did walk away from him.
She didn't even walk away. It was basically like, I can't.
So Steve follows Amanda out, and he stops her in the hallway of D&D and says, you know what, Amanda, I just have to tell you, I disagree with your approach, and guess what? I'm the boss. And she says, okay, well, it's certainly your prerogative to disagree with me. And he says, again, this is my product. I want to go with what Allison is saying. And then Amanda is like, well, I have over 5 years of advertising experience. And ooh. If anyone should know what's going to work in the market and what's not, it's me.
Yeah,
and it's
probably like, three of which were you like being an assistant to somebody.
And 5 years isn't a long time. That's not something that you should be bragging about.
No, that is not something you should be tooting your horn for. But Steve's basically like, well, great. So if it fails, then it's all our asses.
And then Amanda says, no, it's just Allison's.
Ooh.
Ooh.
She really doesn't like Allison. I thought, until this episode, I thought that hatchet was sort of buried, but this reaffirms.
No, I disagree with you, Dan. I think that she's a very single-minded person, and she does, although it's 5 years, it's more experience than what Allison has. And you saw the ads. They suck.
They do suck.
Like, they're going to fail.
They are very
They're not
going
to do well. And I think Amanda is really just looking out for the best interest of her client, which is Steve, and trying to point him in the wrong direction. And I'm sorry, the right direction.
Maybe the ad campaign fails. Amanda fires Allison. Allison goes back to drinking. And that sends her into a...
Is this predictions time?
No, sorry. I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking ahead.
So we now go to Shooters, where the peeps of Melrose Place are blowing off some steam. Billy and Allison are on a date with Joe and Steve, and Joe and Steve are on the dance floor.
I'm concerned about Shooters because I think every night must be a different night, like a themed night.
It's really inconsistent.
Like,
yeah.
Jane will go there, and it'll be, like, jazz, light jazz playing. And then, like, Sydney works there. We didn't even see her. And it's like
heavy metal and it's like, other times.
It's like TGI Fridays in there. And now it is, like, a dance club. And everyone around is dancing. I thought Joe was an extra. Because the dancing was so horrible.
Okay, but Joe...
I'm sorry, Joe.
Joe was, like, throwing her body around in a really weird way.
Really jerky.
But, okay, really so jerky. This goes back to what Gregory Reti told us on our Facebook group.
Yes.
That all of the music of Melrose Place used to be, like, hip, happening songs of the day. And the song that they were playing is kind of like this weird, mellow, like, just... public domain.
Yeah, maybe
cool
they didn't
about
match it.
It just does not fit with how she's dancing. And now watching it, I'm getting really jealous that we're not getting the like full experience of what people saw back in the day when they were watching this for the first time.
Yeah, how do we get the real music, guys? Let us know.
If anybody knows, because it's just...
I'll pirate it.
It takes away from something from the episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that the music corny. Is a huge part. It sets the ambiance, it sets the tone of the scenes, and the whatever music they decided to match up to this scene does not work.
Well, I bet the danger music and the love music is all the same.
Yeah, because that's for the show. But I mean, in places like this, where it's like they're partying at a bar and they're dancing on the dance floor, they're not going to be listening to some like weird elevator like...
What 90s song do you want them to be dancing to right there? I want them to be dancing to...
Do the Humpty Dance. Yeah.
The Humpty Dance?
Yeah.
I was thinking more like Jesus Jones. Right here, right now.
No!
There is no other place I want to be.
They're definitely dancing to some like hip-hop song.
Like Salt and Pepper?
Oh, hell yeah.
Shoop-a-doop,
shoop-a-doop,
shoop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. That would explain Joe's...
Yes.
Jerkiness.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we've spent
Can I get some fries with the shake, shake, boogie?
And this could kill you, would be a doozy, you're a shotgun. Bang! What's up with that fang? I wanna know, how does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover.
I've opened Pandora's box.
All right, let's go. So, later on the scene, both couples are playing pool, and Allison has her little pool cue. She's leaning over the pool table and freaking...
Final shot. Final shot.
This is it.
This is
for
the
win.
All the marbles.
And they have money riding on it.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking Billy is like leaning over her like a child hanging onto his mother.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
His face is basically on her cheek. And she's like, Billy, get the fuck off of me.
Honestly.
I'm trying to win this game.
So.
And credit to the writers for continuity here, because probably the last time we saw Joe plays pool in the credits. Or is that Amanda? Allison plays pool in the credits.
I don't know.
Well, either way, it works. They both play pool. And the last time we saw Joe play pool, she was playing for money. And she was hustling those dudes. Those weird dudes. Yeah.
Like what she does.
So it's cool they've still stuck with that. Like, okay, Joe's our pool player.
She's our pool shark.
For money.
Yeah.
That's good.
So Allison makes the last shot. She gets it. And then that means Billy and Allison are the winners. And then Joe and Steve have to pay up.
Did you hear Billy's snarky comment?
What'd he say?
Steve's like about to pull out the wallet. And Joe's like, don't worry, Steve. I got it. And Billy looks at Allison and says, he doesn't have it.
He is such a, like, God, Billy is so stupid. He doesn't have it.
Yeah, he's just a fucking little parasite. Just a bottom feeder.
Oh my God, stop.
Billy is the equivalent to one of those smaller fish that like hangs out on a whale and cleans it. They're like, what do you call those? Like sucker fishes?
I don't know.
Sucker fish. He's one of those.
Okay, so Steve, they're on a high. They had a lot of fun. And Steve's like, hey, why don't you all come to the ranch this weekend? I'd love to have you.
And he leaves it up to Billy.
Because all the girls are like, yeah, we'd love that. And everyone looks at Billy and he's like, well, who am I to ruin a bad time? Oh, okay, well, you're the guy.
Who are you to ruin a bad time? You are it. You're the person to ruin the bad time.
So, presumably another cool song comes on, but we have no idea what song that is. And Joe is like, come on, Steve, one last dance. And then they go out to the dance floor, and then Allison and Billy have kind of like a little snuggly kissy time.
Yep. Now we go to Amanda's apartment, where Jake comes home from a hard day's work. He's already two cars behind. Old, what's her dad's name?
Palmer.
Palmer. So weird. So weird.
What?
I don't know. It's just a weird first name.
Really?
It's a last name. Arnold. Well, Carson.
People would probably say Moxie is a weird first name, which is our daughter's name.
Well, it's not a last name.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's Jake. He's like, I'm two cars behind already. And Amanda's like, who cares? Let's have sex. And Jake is always the guy who's like, wait, let's talk.
Can we like just get to know each other? I want to know your past. I want to know your dreams and your struggles.
Such it's a like, fucking stop, girl.
Just do it.
Stop being a chick, dude. Like, this is great. You can just have Amanda all the time.
So anyway, Amanda takes off her robe or whatever she's wearing, and she's completely naked walking into the back bedroom. And she's like, Jake, turn off the lights and meet me in here.
Just come to bed, you fucking property.
So Jake goes over to the window to turn off the lights and shut the blinds. And at that very moment, he sees Joe and Steve coming back from Shooters. And then Steve, of course, gives Joe a goodnight kiss.
Tonguing it down.
And then, of course, this is a device that Melrose Place loves to do, where it's like the mirror image of different characters. So then we see in Billy and Allison's apartment, Allison is going to the window to shut the blinds for the night, and then she sees Joe and Steve as well. So it's like this juxtaposition of both Jake and Allison looking on to see the happy couple at Joe's doorstep and their reactions of like just yearning after the one that got away, the person that could have been theirs. And we hear, Jake, come to bed. And then cut to Allison. Allison, come to bed.
Allison, come to bed.
It's like,
it's almost
guys!
As if, it's almost as if there's a web from Joe's apartment to Allison's that's also to Amanda's.
But it's really tangled.
Yeah, it's like a tangled.
It's a tangled web.
Web of sex. Of sex and desire. And yearning. The next scene, Allison and Billy are pulling up to the ranch and my note here is, get a new car, !!
Remember, Allison wasn't ready to give her away.
That car was on its last leg.
What was her nickname for it?
30 episodes
ago. What was her nickname for the car?
Betsy?
I feel like it, I was like Bessie or Betsy, something like that.
Oh, yeah, probably Betsy. I don't know. But get a new car, dude. You've gotten a promotion. You have, I mean, 20 episodes have gone by, 30 maybe. Get a new fucking car.
It is an older car.
It's a beater.
It, yeah, it's not.
It's time, buddy.
But it's running. So they pull up to Steve's ranch and Steve comes out and he's like, oh, hey, guys, welcome. I don't understand why you insisted on taking two cars. And Billy's taking the bags out and he's like, well, just in case there's an emergency, it's going to be able to have a car. And it's like, of course, Billy, you're probably planning some kind of exit. Why are you so passive aggressive? If you don't want to go, just say, I don't want to go. Why don't you guys go?
She'd be like, I'm good. Allison would do that to you if she didn't want to go somewhere.
So Billy's taking the bags out of the car, and Steve is like, okay, cool. I'll show you the house and where what room you're going to be staying in. So they go into a bedroom, and it's just Allison and Steve. And Steve makes a remark that he hopes that Amanda has calmed down after, you know, his confrontation with her. And Allison just slips by to say, hey, it's always kind of difficult with her because she and Billy used to date.
Mm-hmm.
And she just volunteers this information. And of course, this is very intriguing to Steve. And they kind of start talking about it and how difficult it is that Billy is Amanda's ex. And now Allison has to work under Amanda. And then Billy rounds the corner and hears a portion of this conversation.
He times it so that he hears it and interrupts it at the right, at the precise moment.
Yeah, so he then walks in and
he waddles in like, I got the bags.
He pretends like, you know, he didn't hear anything. And then Steve says, okay, well, Joe's down at the stables, but I thought we could go for a ride.
And Billy says, nope, I don't ride.
Not me. I don't ride.
Why'd you come, dickhead?
Yeah, it's like, what? So you're coming to this dude's ranch to do what? And then Allison is like, oh, that's okay. We'll just go fishing or something.
It's like going to Pizza Hut and being like, sorry, I don't eat cheese.
It's weird.
What? You're at a ranch, dude. You gotta ride.
And you're there to visit your friends. You should just be spending time with them. Why would you go to this guy's ranch and then be like, oh, yeah, you do your own thing. We're gonna go fishing. That's weird.
Yeah. It's stupid.
So then Billy is like, no, Allison, you love to ride. You love horses. Why don't you go on down to the stables? I'll stay here. And she is like, oh, okay, great. Sounds good. And then
Billy is basically forcing Allison into Steve's arms. That was an assist on Billy's part of like, go ahead. Yeah, let's get some separation here. And you go have some time with good old Stevie.
It's so weird.
It's like he's trying to try to catch her.
No, you're right. It's like he's almost like setting a trap for her.
Yeah, he's like, let's see where this goes. And there's, I don't know what kind of school Andrew Hsu went to for acting, but like after he tells him to go off and go ride, he's just standing there looking at the bags, nodding his head very...
No.
Very quickly.
I mean, I get that. Like sometimes like you're
it's like
thinking,
a bobblehead.
Like like sometimes I've done that before where you're thinking about something and
you
like
have?
You're like thinking in your head and you're like, "Yep, okay.
Don't ever let
there
me see you do
there
that."
There they go. And then you like nod to yourself or something.
No.
It made sense to
me. I would be like, "Jenny, why are you being weird right now?" Stop nodding at the duffel bags. And can you guys grow up? Get some luggage. They just have like soccer
what
bags.
What's up with you're like so in on like get a new car, get new suitcases.
I'm
you're
saying
20 somethings trying to make it in LA.
Upgrade.
Give them a break.
They both have good jobs. Get some matching luggage.
So Allison and Steve are riding horses by themselves in this big expansive field. And where's Joe?
He put her to work in the basement.
They make no mention of where she is. He says she's at the stable, so we would think that they'd all three be riding together, but no mention of where she is, why she's not there. They're riding in this field, and then they stop to kind of look over a vista, and they're just kind of talking about things.
They have a really great moment of like connection for a second.
Right. So Allison says, gosh, this is so beautiful. I mean, you've got so much going on and it's just so much to take in. And he's like, oh, so you're asking if I appreciate it. And she says, well, no, I'm not asking that. And he's like, the answer is yes, I do. But I really do want somebody to share it with. And he gives her kind of like a knowing look. And she says, oh, come on, you can have anyone you want and you know it. And then he continues. He does this like really intense staring thing that kind of reminds me of a serial killer a little bit. He just continues, like never looks away, just like laser eyes.
That's and Allison's preference.
She loves it.
She wants like, that.
That intensity.
She needs it. She needs people to look at her like they want to wear her.
Well, that is the vibe I'm getting. And Steve just continues to like just stare through her soul and says, not anyone. Of course, you know, referencing that.
No blinking.
He can't have her. At that very moment, we hear the sounds of galloping in the distance and shrieks of like unsurety of, and we look over and here's Billy full gallop on a horse.
Just and he's like flailing
almost
around.
About to fall off. He gets up to where Steve
was. That
Allison
him
are.
Doing that stunt?
It I had think to it be. Is. I think it was.
Kudos on the stunt. Kudos on the stunt.
It wasn't very believable.
But he's like, like almost falling.
But we got the point. And he's like, oh, hey, guys. Decided I'd try this horse thing out after all. And it's really fun.
And Allison gives him a look like, what is wrong with you?
Like,
I am embarrassed to even know your name.
And then, okay, I don't know who thought of this. Then we see the camera go close shot on the horse's ears, which stand straight up. And then we get
then pan up to Billy's face like,
going, oh no, how would he know?
Yeah, I was right about to say that. How will Billy understand that when the ears twist, that means bad things? What is he, a horse whisperer?
He said he doesn't ride. So the horse's ears go up. We see Billy's face, who's panicked, and he says, oh no. And then the horse bucks up, and Billy falls off the back of the horse.
And it's not even a bad fall. When I was a kid, I fell off a horse.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I was at my mom's friend Ellen's.
Oh.
I was at Ellen's farm, basically. And we like rode these horses really slow. And I was on the back of somebody. I was too young. I was like holding on. And the horse got stung by a bee.
Ooh.
So the horse like bucked and bucked, like kicked its back legs. And I was just like, whoa! And I just slipped off the back.
Aw, did you get hurt?
Yeah. Fuck, another connection to me and Billy.
You guys are like
soccer, fall off horse.
You're soul brothers. You hate him so much because you are him.
Soul brother.
Anyway, so it's not a very convincing fall, but
yeah, the thing is, he's like hurt. He's hurt. Like, dude, I mean, Christopher Reeves, I don't got to say it. Like, that's how he went paralyzed. He fell off a horse.
He was skiing.
No. Reeves fell off a horse.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Fact check this right now.
Google
I swear
it.
He was skiing.
Google that shit.
Horse riding.
Told you.
Well, boom. Then someone around that same time died from skiing.
Sonny Bono.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
But, I mean, so, yes, if you fall off a horse, you can be severely injured.
So,
but this is not one of those times. This so, was, he like, I wouldn't even call it a fall. He slipped off a horse. Billy, you slipped off a horse. You want treatment as if you fell off the horse.
So, Allison runs over to his aid. He's hurt his hip a little bit. But then he gets back on the horse, and the three of them ride away.
They ride away. Allison's so disappointed.
Yeah, you can tell her face is like, I hate Billy.
Dude, just break up.
Yeah.
Why not just break up?
Yeah.
She had the rent covered when he moved out with Amanda. It's not a money thing. And he only has a duffel bag of stuff. You know? He packs very light.
So, the next scene is Jake and Palmer arm in arm coming back from a long day at work, and they've had a few drinks. And Go ahead.
Paul, they're walking up the stairs, and it's like they're trying to introduce like the fact that they've been having this long conversation, and this is just like the tail end of it. But Palmer says to Jake, No. You want to have tax problems.
Tax problems are a good thing.
And what? It's like, I don't think so. Well, I'm not a super, super savvy businessman or anything.
Like Palmer Woodward.
But I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing.
So they go up into Amanda's apartment and they, and Jake is just kind of like, okay, well, it's been great hanging out with you. Palmer leaves.
They're drunk.
They're drunk. And Jake is like, I love your dad. He's so cool. He's great. And then Palmer's like,
didn't Amanda say like, Daddy, don't you have a taxi waiting?
Yeah.
She's like, get the fuck out.
And Palmer's like, if you ever wonder why you love him so much, it's because he's me. We're exactly the same. And I'm like, in what reality is that the case?
Palmer, you ain't nothing like Jake.
Yeah. So Palmer leaves and then Jake's drunk and he's like, gosh, just hanging out with your dad makes me think about my family.
And Amanda's immediately like, come on, let's do it. Let's go. Take off your pants. Come on, let's go. No talk. No talky-talky. Let's just do this.
She's like, I've been waiting to make love to you all day. It's like, ew. Yuck. I just hate it when people phrase. Like,
let's make love.
Okay, so she's like trying to get it on with him, and he's like, no, really. I mean, I didn't know you didn't like broccoli, which is supposed to be some like salacious secret from her childhood. When it's like,
that's stupid.
And then he's like, and then everyone called you Mandy until you were in college. And then she was like, don't call me that.
And she's like, good night, Jake.
Yeah. And so she's really pissed that he's trying to dig up the past and calls her Mandy. She runs into her bedroom and slams the door.
Back to the ranch, Steve's ranch. Steve is going in strong on Joe, like trying to get this. She's wearing a lot of baggy clothing lately. Do you think she's like pregnant in real life?
I don't know.
And they're trying to hide it?
That's a good question.
It's possible. Let's look that up.
But no, you're right. She definitely is in a lot of like baggy blouses.
Yeah, like that. A lot of just shots above her bosom, for lack of a better word.
Her stomach?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. I don't know. Maybe. But he's going in strong on Joe.
Joe stops Steve and says, do you feel like we're rushing it sometimes? And he says, yeah, but other times I wonder what we're waiting for. And so Joe then says, you know the guy that was at the apartment complex when he came to pick me up? And Steve's like, yeah, well, that's my ex-boyfriend, Jake. And I thought I was over him, but then when I saw him, all of these old feelings started rushing back, and I just can't get him out of my head, and it's just really, really hard for me. And then he's like, am I being turned down here? Which he says it with such intensity, it's like, I almost thought he could have backhanded her. Like, he's got that, like, fine line of, like, I don't know if you love it or hate it.
And you mentioned that, like, oh, they cut that scene when he came to pick her up. But maybe she's referencing the date that he came to pick her up when she was in Allison's house with Billy, the last
episode.
Well, Jake
wasn't there.
Maybe. Are you sure?
I don't know.
Might have been.
So, anyway, Steve is like, yeah, it never works. I mean, I'm kind of getting over somebody myself. And I guess immersing yourself in someone new to get over somebody else doesn't work. And then he tries again. Well, doesn't change the fact that I think you're very beautiful.
Yeah,
and
that's basically a saying like, I mean, you still just want to fuck?
Yeah. And he goes in and tries again. And she turns her face and is like,
basically it comes down to it. Joe says, like, I think it's still separate bedrooms for tonight. And mm-hmm. Steve's like, well, all right, sounds good. Joe only has sex for love. What do we got next?
Okay, so same night, we go over to Billy and Allison's room, and of course, Allison,
oh, God.
Billy, you always do this. Yeah, I can't be friends with anyone of the male persuasion without you getting jealous. It was the same with Keith.
And Billy's got the ice pack on his hip, and he's like, yeah, it was the same as Keith, and look how that turned out.
Yeah. Allison gets upset, storms out, and she goes out to the front area of the house where Steve is waiting, because after he's been turned down by Joe, I think he's going out to clear his head, so is she, and he's like, oh, wow, fancy seeing you here. Is everything okay? And she says, yeah, and then stops herself and says, no, everything's a mess again. I guess referencing to the time with Keith.
And did they mispronounce oogling?
Oh, that was the scene with Billy and...
Yeah.
They said
ogling.
They said ogling.
What the fuck is ogling?
Maybe we're mispronouncing it.
I always said you oogle.
Me too, but maybe it's like tomato, tomato.
Ogling. Ogling.
You've been ogling them. So she says, no, everything's a mess. And she says to Steve, well, I know it's none of my business, but shouldn't you and Joe be... Oh, God, forget it. And then he says, well, shouldn't you and Billy be...
And then Steve gives Allison the old F me eyes.
And he says, well, it's a waste of a beautiful night. And then they start to almost, like, they look at each other. They go in, almost kiss. And then at the very last second, Allison turns away and says, I can't. I just can't.
I love Billy.
Next day, they are loading all the bags back into Allison's car. And Steve is talking to Billy, asks how his hip is doing. And then Steve very forwardly says, I know what you're thinking. Allison and I are spending a lot of time together, but nothing is going to happen. Which is like, what?
Yeah, he's like, our relationship is strictly platonic.
This is weird.
And Billy's just like, right, platonic. And you can see the difference between Steve and Billy. It's night and day. Billy's a child.
You say that about every male character in Billy.
Guys, look at it. Just look at it on screen. It's like Billy is, you know, soccer tee, duffel bag. Steve is like, computer, look at this house I own. Like, I am like leaps and bounds better than you. Every man on the show is leaps and bounds better than Billy.
I think it all depends on how you measure success and who's better and who's not. If it's measured by material things,
any form of measurement, every man is better than Billy on this show. Unless that unit of measure is how much you suck, then Billy's the best sucker.
Okay, so Billy goes into the house, and then Allison comes out, and she and Steve have a moment, and she says, I finally, for the first time in my life, have everything I want. And then you come along. I just can't stop these feelings.
Woo! I can't stop the feeling when you dance, 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 Steve.
So then Allison and Billy drive away, and we're back at the hospital.
Michael says hello to Kimberly.
They're in an office space together, and then Michael gets these files, and as soon as they're handed to him, he kind of sighs, and Kimberly senses that something is amiss and says, oh, yeah, Hoffman case? Yeah, 12-year-old suspected brain tumor. So she says the only way to know is if we look. So I guess they both have this kid as a patient. They think he might have a brain tumor. The x-ray results are back, so they have to check out the x-ray to see if this kid actually has a tumor in his brain. They look at it together. They see that it's completely clear. The child does not have a brain tumor. And they both kind of have a moment where they revel in, gosh, this kid is clear as a bell. Everything's good. He's going to live. It's yeah. not a tumor.
And do you know anything about hospitals?
No.
Like, I'm questioning whether or not this would happen at a ER. Like, they work at the ER, right? Like, they're dealing with, like, gunshot wounds.
My question is, are they still interns? Because first season, they were interns.
One, are they still interns? Two, what sort of, like, repeat customer and customers, for lack of a better word, of, like, patient would they get at, like, a ER hospital? Like, isn't it all emergencies and, like, major surgeries?
Well, maybe because they are still in their internship, they have to work in many different departments to determine what their practice and specialty is going to be.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Because I feel like that sort of like test result for a brain tumor would be at like a private practice.
Like an oncologist would do that.
Yeah.
Would determine
like
that.
Why is Michael worrying about that when...
Well, maybe because the kid came in the ER because he was having like seizures or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then
they
were like, well, what's going on? And they're diagnosing him. And then if it did turn out that they saw a mass in his brain, then he would be referred to an oncologist.
I see. Yep, that makes sense.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ever doubted you, Michael and Kimberly.
So, they share this little victory together. And you can tell Michael's pumped. He's like, yes, one step closer. So we go to Melrose Place where Steve is dropping off Joe. He walks her to the front doorstep and she says, I had a really great time. And he responds with, liar.
No, you didn't.
And
serial killer eyes.
She really?
No, you didn't.
And then she says,
come taste this, you know, steel across your throat.
She says, it doesn't have to end, you know. And then Steve says, well, it would make for a pretty lousy beginning. Joe, we're not the type of people who likes to be second best, so let's just leave it at that. So then Joe says, so where does this leave us? And he says, see you around.
I'll see you around.
Bye.
And by see you around, he means in the workplace. Because you are working with him professionally.
Now, they do make a comment that this is weird that Billy and Allison beat us here. They left before us. Well, we go right over to where Billy and Allison are. They
having
got
a lover's quarrel.
Because they got a flat tire. Because
that car sucks.
And this is the days before Google Maps. And apparently Billy kept insisting on taking all these weird back roads.
Of course he would.
And they
sounds a lot like Billy Campbell.
They have this flat tire. So they're out of the car. They're trying to change the tire. And at the same time, they are fighting about Steve. And Billy is like, look, just admit it. Admit that you like Steve. I know you do. I know you guys both like each other. And maybe you should be with a guy like that. I mean, you deserve someone that's got this big house and is successful.
And she's like, Billy, is this where she's like, Billy, any, you know, everyone, a lot of people think that a lot of people are attractive and they don't act on it. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, I think she says that about the ogling. In the bedroom.
Right. Yeah, that's a leading topic.
And so the argument comes to a head and the tire then rolls down a hill, which causes Billy and Allison to both
fall
into a pile of laughter where they're like, gosh, we're so silly.
I love you.
I love you. And it's just like, guys, your freaking spare tire is like at the bottom of a ravine and you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, who's going to get that? This is the second time they've used Allison car trouble to keep her at the ranch.
Yeah.
Remember she crashed in the fence?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That car is it's its own character. It should be in the credits.
And Betsy.
Because it causes disaster.
So it's later that night, and Allison and Billy are back at Melrose Place. Allison looks out the window and sees Joe by the pool. She walks out and asks if Joe is okay.
In a fake-ass imposter Old Faithful robe.
Season 2, new robe.
It is not even as cool as Old Faithful.
Old Faithful's gone. She now has this like little purpley...
I miss my moons and stars.
Yeah.
Old Faithful.
Allison goes to join Joe, who's sitting at the pool, and asks her if she's okay. And that's when Joe kind of goes into what happened at the ranch and that Steve and her have decided to take a break. And Joe reveals that Steve is just getting over a breakup as well. And Allison is genuinely surprised by this news because she
says, "I didn't know he was on the rebound."
Yeah. So Joe says, "Well, I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, is he going to pursue this mystery woman? And now that I thought I wanted to take it slow, I'm rethinking my decision. What should I do, Allison?" And Allison just says, "I don't know.
I don't know. Because I need Steve in my life." Now we are off to Amanda's place. Jake is in bed with Amanda. And Jake, again, is prying to, like, get into that backstory.
Who are you?
I want to know what's going on. And she's like, "What? I have a job. So do you. We're here. We have great sex. Let's leave it at that."
No, really. What's up with this Mandy thing?
And she just, like, raises out of bed like, "Oh, Jake, give me a fucking break, will you? God. Someone used to call me Mandy, okay?"
Then she launches into, "I just started sixth grade," which is a really weird time for a girl.
Sure is.
"My dad was away on business, and I get home from school, and there's a note on the kitchen counter. And my mom, who used to call me Mandy, had written me a note that said, 'I'm going away for a while, Mandy, but I love you. I'll always love you. Never saw her again.'"
Pathetic.
What?
That story sucks. But you know what I think? I'm putting it together. I think that Palmer had to kill Amanda's mom.
That is a really, really interesting theory.
Because he has all the, he's like got these mob ties.
Does he?
With the taxes. Something's going on. Some Ozark
just
shit.
Just because he likes to have tax problems, you think he's with the mob?
Something's going on with that money. He's paying off the people who he had clean up.
That's a really, really interesting theory. But it's not pathetic. I mean, people's parents do run out on them, and it's probably a very awful, trying thing that they have to deal with.
But now it's like, no one can call me Mandy. How about no one calls you Mandy because you're a grown-up now? And that's a kid nickname.
You're being really just judgmental this whole time.
Be a grown up. Drop the Mandy.
Okay, this
if
is
somebody
coming,
called me Danny, I'd be like, "Don't call me Danny."
This is coming I'm an from adult. A man. Your entire wardrobe consists of graphic t-shirts with Ninja Turtles.
So what?
And SpongeBob SquarePants. You still keep action figures.
I don't have people call me Danny
at
Boy.
At your sink to, quote,
protect
your sink, your side of the sink.
And guess what? It works. Your stuff doesn't come over there.
And you have more toys than Moxie.
Yeah. They're adult.
I don't.
They're fixtures. I don't play with them.
Oh, but you play video games enough.
Of course. Well, video games are for adults now. Have you seen how complex these things are? It's hard.
It's just really interesting that you're telling everybody to grow up, yet maybe you should take a little advice of your own.
I would accept that criticism if I had people call me Danny still.
People call me Jenny, and my name's Jennifer.
Grow up, Jennifer.
Oh my gosh, you are such a freak!
Oh man. So Jake, He's super happy that Amanda opened up about this whole Mandy thing. And he, like, gives her a big old hug. And they've, like, had, like, they've written it as, like, this major breakthrough. But we're sitting there, like, what? Okay. Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't really that spectacular. That's what I was saying pathetic for.
Okay.
I'm not saying, like, your mother leaving is a pathetic
reason
to cry.
Yeah, that's how it came off.
No, like, I'm saying this
was... Oh, my God.
I'm saying this was a pathetic way to show a breakthrough in their relationship, which comes into play later.
We're now at Escapade magazine, back to Billy's place of work, and he's sitting at his desk, and Celia, the new employee that mistook his desk for hers, is talking to Billy about this idea that she has for a piece. She wants to do an expose on salaries in LA, comparing men's to women's, showing that women are not paid equally. And Billy's like, well, that's a pretty bad idea. And she's like, oh, well, I told the boss and she's all over it. And then she picks up the 8x10 photo that Billy has on his desk. And it's this awful photo.
Horrible, guys.
Of Allison.
Like, I would find all of those in my mother's house and destroy them.
It's terrible. It's like she is standing.
Her hands are behind her neck. Her hands are behind her neck, so her elbows are full frontal out.
And it's like a full photo. It's like head to toe.
I can't even do it. Like, I can't even do it, but like, she has long ass arms, I guess.
I tried to do it too. It's really hard.
But her elbows come down to like below her chest. And it's just elbow.
And so Celia like picks it up and is like, very cute. Who's she? She's your girlfriend? Oh, I bet you get told all the time that you guys are the cutest couple. You know what? I'm going to do my next story on you and how you're the cutest couple in LA.
And he's just like, please don't. Like,
go away.
Can you just smoke 30 cigarettes somewhere else?
So next up, we're with Amanda, Steve, Joe, and Allison. And they're okay. Like, all they do is look at photos.
They're really...
That's all they do.
They're wasting a lot of time.
They're just, like, looking through the photos that Joe took at every meeting.
Same pictures.
Like, what
are... the last four episodes, same photos.
It's they're so going over. Weird. And so they're going through them again. And Steve is like, okay, well, I have to leave. We'll see you at the shoot. And then...
And he taps Joe on the shoulder as he leaves.
And then Allison leaves bye-bye. Too. And it's just Amanda and Joe in the room. And Amanda says, is that tension between you and Steve that I sense? And it's like, Amanda, freaking let it alone. Like, why do you always have to stick your nose in this?
She's like a little palm reader.
And then Joe is like, yeah, well, I'm sure everybody knows that Steve and I aren't really seeing each other anymore. And Amanda's like, well, of course not, because he has this thing for Allison. I mean, it's so evident. And of course, Allison always wants who she can't have. She only likes someone who's involved with other
people.
Very
true.
Which is true. And Joe is packing up and trying to leave. And she says, Amanda, you're crazy. Allison loves Billy. Shut up. Like, stop putting this in my head. And she's like, oh, no. They had this weird flirtation. And you know that Steve and Allison do really like each other. And then somehow it gets flipped around to the relationship with Amanda and Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Joe makes some kind of snide remark about like, oh yeah, well, you're so great with relationships. And then Amanda is like, Joe, it is the most intense relationship I've ever had in my life.
Bullshit. It's like intensely sexual.
Yeah. And then Joe is just like, okay, that's great, Amanda. I'm happy for you. Bye. Like, why would you say that? Especially to someone like, they didn't break up that long ago and they were living together.
Yeah. And all right, that's the most intense relationship. Amanda, you told Billy that you loved him. You officially lived with him and you nearly had his baby. How is that not the most intense relationship that you ever had?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And wasn't she... And the story that she told Billy about her other ex before Billy, weren't they about to get married? I'm pretty sure.
I can't keep them straight.
I am pretty sure.
So, for some reason, they're doing another shoot with Steve and the computer again. I don't know why they're doing more, but they're prepping for another shoot, and it's Allison and Joe. And then Joe confronts Allison and says, well, why didn't you tell me that you were the unrequited love of Steve? And Allison is like, what are you talking about? And she's like, everyone knows it. Okay, Allison, why did you set me up with Steve when you know he liked you?
And you're right. She didn't set them up.
She didn't set them up. So no. The whole time they're talking about like, oh, well, Allison set Joe and Steve up. Like, it's because of Allison, like, made them go on a date together, which is untrue.
Yeah, that didn't happen. All that happened was Allison referred Joe as a photographer because Steve just randomly liked the photos on the table. And that's how they met. And then
they went out for drinks after the first photo shoot, and then they organically started seeing each other.
Right. Steve asked out Allison. Allison said no, and then Steve gave Joe a phone call.
Yeah.
That's it.
So why is this whole, like, you fix Joe and Allison up? And they're trying to say that Allison is, like, sick and twisted for setting up Joe and Steve when Steve obviously likes Allison better and that she just likes keeping this little flirtation and keeping Steve in her personal bubble as well as professional bubble so she can kind of like bask in the glory of being wanted by this dude.
Mm-hmm.
But like under the guise of, oh no, he doesn't like me, he's with Joe, which is like partly true, but it's not, that wasn't her intention because she didn't set them up.
Right.
The whole part of this episode, they're trying to make her out to be this bad guy, and it's kind of like,
she never told Joe. She gave Joe her blessing. That's about it when it came to, can I date Steve?
Yeah.
That was all.
Really weird. So Joe is really upset and she's like, you know, this is like so sick.
First fight.
Yeah, as girlfriends. And she's like, this is so sick. And if I'm this pissed off, just think about what Billy's going to be when he finds out about this. Mm. And it's like, is that a veiled threat that you're going to go run to Billy right now and tell him what's going on? Who knows? We now go to Palmer's business where Jake is just about ready to go to lunch. Palmer's there. He wants to take him out. And Palmer is excited because Tokyo wants 7 more orders of the cars. So Jake produces this letter that he says, hey, this came in. It wasn't addressed to anybody. So I opened it and it's our numbers. And I didn't realize that we had a profit margin this large. And Palmer is like, profit margin? Where'd you learn that term? Like, he's some idiot.
Where'd you learn that sort of word, you doofus?
And Jake is like, well, Palmer, remember, I did used to own my own business. Remember that?
Until your daughter burnt it to a crisp.
And then Palmer is like, listen, Jake, why don't you let me do the business side and you just do the operation side? I didn't get into this business to not make money. Of course I'm making good money. And so, why don't we take a rain check on that lunch? I'll see you later.
So it's clear that there's some shady dealings going
on.
But
is it? It's like, yeah, they're making good money. But why does that have to mean that something bad is happening?
Well, because I think it has something to do with when we first met him. He said to Jake that the car was an original, and it's a repro.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's pawning them off as originals.
Yeah, so Jake's...
Yeah,
I think Jake's putting together regular car... he's putting together these reproductions,
and then
Palmer's selling them to China as, like, bingos.
As bingos.
As bingos. I don't know where that came from. I wanted to say like primos.
Bingo primos.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's later that evening. We're back at Melrose Place. Billy is getting ready to leave and have drinks with Celia, his new office mate. I didn't really understand why, but they were... But no, he was leaving Allison at home.
My brain shuts off. I don't care.
Yeah, he was leaving Allison at home to go have drinks with Celia. Billy walks out the door. The phone rings. Allison picks it up, and it's Steve. He says that he has gotten some inspiration that has just struck him and that he's on the way to her house right now. Before she even has a moment to protest this, he's like, I'll be there in 5 minutes, and hangs up.
I got some inspiration.
At that moment, Joe is pulling up to Melrose Place on her motorcycle. She's getting off the bike, and behind her comes Steve in his Range Rover. She is surprised and happy to see him. Wow, this is a surprise, Steve. How are you? Yeah, hi, Joe. And it's kind of like giving her the signals that I'm not here to see you.
I ain't here for you, baby.
She picks up on this and is like, oh, I get it. You're here to see Allison.
Then Steve gives her the dead eyes again.
Like.
I gotta check his IMDb because he could be Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th.
I mean, he's.
He just stands there like, I'm gonna kill
him. He really does. And then Allison walks out of the apartment cautiously, holding on to her papers. You know, she just had this big fight with Joe, and then
brainstorm.
How does this look? She's about to leave with Steve in the evening, no Billy. And then Joe just says to each other, well, have fun, and leaves. And then Allison gets in Steve's car.
So Joe, she's walking back into Melrose Place after parking her bike out front and runs into Jake. And they have a combo. Going back and forth sort of about the Amanda relationship. And Jake is like, I think that you really misunderstand who Amanda is.
Jake says, well, Amanda's a good person. And Joe is like, listen to you. Oh, just misunderstood, right? She's a snake and nothing can make me think otherwise. And then that's when Jake
says, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Listen to you. You're starting to sound like her. And then she walks away. And Amanda's watching this whole exchange from
She's
her window.
It play out, yeah.
This should be called rear view window because a lot of things are happening, like from people just watching outside of their windows.
Mm-hmm. So Jake goes back. He goes up to the place. Again, he's the only person who uses the pool. Amanda was listening to everything, and he goes back up to Amanda's place, and she asks him like, "What's going on?" And she's like, how's the swim? And Jake's like, it was pretty freaking cold.
She turned the heat off because the energy bills were killing her.
Right. Yeah. But still, she's like a bad landlord.
Yeah, she sucks.
The sprinklers are off timer. All the plants are dying. And she's cut the heat in the pool. It's fucked up. It's not cool, Amanda. So now we go to Steve and Allison, and they're brainstorming on the beach.
They're having a late night stroll by the waves, and we cut to them.
It's probably right
by where Keith took her under the pier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve takes off his jacket, puts it around Allison's shoulders, and he says, well, I guess the silence means you don't like my ideas. And Allison is like, no, your ideas are great. I like them all. But when we first met, it was all about business. I've been a distraction to you, haven't I? And he says, well, no, you haven't been a distraction. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Huh?
And then she says, look, I was hoping that I'd get over my feelings for you, but I just can't. I just can't get you out of my mind. And they get closer. And she's like, this really isn't me. And then they just start making out. Allison, it is you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a cheater.
That's what she does.
That's what you are.
And my last note for this episode is Allison is a bad person.
So we leave Allison and Steve on the beach, making out.
Cheating on Billy.
Roll credits.
Roll them credits. So, let's recap.
Joe and Steve break up.
Allison cheats.
Jake gets closer to Amanda.
Michael makes some progress with Kimberly.
Billy makes a fool of himself at Steve's ranch.
And Jake realizes the books are cooked.
And then Joe is mad at Allison.
And no Matt, no Jane, no Sydney, no Katya.
And we leave with a kiss from Allison and Steve.
Beautiful. 90s moments.
The newspapers in the morning. The whole thing about getting a better newspaper because yours is wet and sopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day, guys, listening to this, there used to be a thing called newspapers, and they got delivered to you every day, if you wished. Or you could just get Sunday. Sunday had the bomb shit in it.
Yeah.
Or was that Saturday? Saturday.
I thought it was Sunday.
Saturday had the bomb. So I have, again, those slides, the slide machine.
Yeah, looking at photos on a projector is a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
Allison's entirely Jean ensemble when she goes to Steve's
Jean
ranch.
Ensemble.
Total Jean. Yeah. And it's that light wash, too. So it's
loves
like
that jean.
The light jeans with, like, the jean shirt. Like, really, like, I mean, I'm a rancher.
Super ranchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the term ogling. Maybe that's a 90s thing.
We say it a lot.
Well, yeah. Ogling.
Smoking indoors anywhere. That was a big 90s thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allison's elbow photo. Yeah. That was a glam shot.
Yeah, it's so
bad. It's
like
a school photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And Billy's ice pack.
Oh, yeah. It's like one of those old ones that you could like fill with ice or hot water.
You unscrewed the top and it was like almost rubber at the...
Yeah, it's not ice. It's called something, but
I used to love those packs.
I forget what they're called.
Yeah, but he had it on his hip.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I guess that's it for me. Allison's car. So 90s.
So, Dan, every one of these episodes has a lesson that we can learn and take away. What did you learn from Tangled Web?
My lesson here, guys, is don't let Allison go to the beach. Bad stuff happens.
Ever! Allison is not allowed at the beach.
If Allison goes to the beach, something... is awry.
That's good.
You?
When it comes to cheating at Melrose Place, trust your instincts. All of the characters think that something is amiss with the people that, like, Billy notices an attraction between Steve and Allison. Joe notices the attraction, too. They all deny it, but it's always the case.
It's always right. It is always
Kimberly
right.
Kimberly thought that Michael's whole relationship with Sydney was weird. Trust your instincts. They are cheating. When in doubt, they are cheating.
And or it's self-fulfilling. Like, if you think it, it will happen. Like, Billy...
the prophecy.
Billy was like, I know you like him. I know you like him. I know you like him. That has to help.
Yeah.
You know? So now, time for our most favorite segment... Bitch of the week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch, bitch.
Last week, I picked Katya for being the bitch because she fucking like blew up Matt's spot and super cock blocked him. And Jenny, you picked Sydney for throwing that salty. Got you, bitch, smile at Kimberly for banging out Michael. And with 80% of the vote, Katya is not the bitch of the week.
Yes!
Sydney was the bitch of the week. And also, I ran a second poll.
Oh, God.
Last week.
What was it?
Have you ever heard of Alarm Bell? And those results were inconclusive. It was a 50-50 tie.
Really?
Yeah.
I have heard of it before.
Never heard of it. Michelle McRuby?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. So, yeah. Alarm bells, we're still on the fence.
Okay.
Now this week, Jenny, who you got?
This week, my nomination for the bitch is Steve.
Oh, damn.
Okay, let me tell you why. Firstly, he, at the beginning of the episode, he jumps it off by getting all up in Amanda's face and is like, I'm the boss. I don't agree with you. You suck. And I'm like, okay, let's take a couple of steps back here. You hired this ad agency to help you to create this ad, okay? I get it. You like Allison, but, I mean, Amanda has 5 years of experience, okay? And it's a lot more than what Steve has, and I think that she does know what she's talking about here. So there's no reason for him to be such a bitch to Amanda. All he has to say is, look, I want to go this other direction, and I'm the client, and that's it. But he throws some attitude her way. Then, this entire time, he is dating Joe, but he still wants Allison. He is dropping these subtle hints all the time about how he wants Allison. Oh, Allison's the best. Allison's better than everybody. And it's like, then why are you dating Joe? Stop pursuing this other woman when you are like basically to her face saying that you like Allison better. Then he doesn't even like Joe, still tries to get into her pants. And when she says no, he tries again. And then basically because Joe shoots him down, he's like, I don't want to see you again. Oh, you're not going to have sex with me? No, done. We're done. And then he continues to pursue Allison in front of Billy the entire time. Remember when Allison says, I have a boyfriend in the very beginning of the meeting. Sorry, Allison. This will never happen again. Yet, he invites them to his ranch. She is there with her live-in boyfriend. He tries to put the moves on her under the moonlight. He knows that she's there with the boyfriend. He doesn't care. And then he has the gall the very next day to go up to Billy and say, I know what you're thinking, but this is all platonic. It's like you tried to kiss her that night. Mm. And then to top it all off, he calls Allison and is like, I'm coming to your house right now. And basically hangs up. He doesn't give her any kind of notice. What if she was busy? What if she was having dinner? Doesn't matter. When Steve McMillan wants you, you better get in his car right then and there. Which she does. He takes her to the beach and then makes out with her. He is such a little bitch. Bitch of the week, Steve McMillan.
Whoa. Okay. My bitch of the week is going to surprise you all. But it's Jake Hansen. Jake, man, you acting like such a little bitch right now. You, Amanda owns you. She just flat out owns that body. You come into the place... You come into her place, and she just starts unbuckling your pants. And she's like, come on, let's go. Let's go, Skippy. Stop being such a goddamn bitch. Like, she's just got you on a string. Then she only lets you go out in the pool and swim. That's all you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to interact with any other tenants. You still yearn for Joe after you broke her fridge and threw a bottle of wine at the wall. Now you're getting all sentimental that she's hooking up with somebody else. That's very bitchy too. You need to make a decision in your life, Jake. Also, you turn down sex because you want to talk? Bro, that's a bitch move. Like, just get this. So, Jake, you're the bitch, buddy. That also, you sticking your bitchy little nose in the business that ain't yours. You're looking at mail that's not addressed to you at your work, and you are looking into profit margins when you're just the lead mechanic. Snooping is a bitch move. Let it be, Jake. Do you. Stop being a bitch.
So as we said before, this episode is called Tangled Web. Dan, what would you rename this episode?
I'm renaming this episode the galloping goof.
That's almost as good as Keith Grief.
I hated this episode.
That's pretty bad.
I hated it. Billy was in it a lot, and I knew by like the picture on IMDb that I was going to hate this episode.
What was the picture of?
Just Billy looking like an asshole. I posted it on our Instagram, and immediately people were like, "Oh God, Billy's the worst." Dude, let me. I'm going to read some of those. What's your rename?
I would rename this episode Second Fiddle because it's all about people being with their second choices and going for their heart's first desire.
I like that.
Thanks.
Second Fiddle. Predictions.
Okay, so I think something fishy is definitely going on with Palmer's business, and Jake is going to be out of a job really soon, which is then going to lead to him and Amanda breaking up. I think Allison is going to tell Billy about the kiss with Steve. That's just within her character. I think it would be really out of her character to try to conceal that and continue on with Billy. And then I think in doing so, Joe's going to find out about this. And then Allison and her are going to become mortal enemies. Mm. And then Billy is definitely going to hook up with Celia at work.
You think?
Totally.
Hmm. See, I think, yes, Palmer... Jake's gonna put his nose into that, get Palmer arrested or something.
Yeah,
that's gonna destroy his relationship with Amanda. Allison, Billy's gonna find out about Steve. Allison is going to break up with Billy, and then Billy's gonna find himself back with Amanda.
What?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I think.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
That is what I think. Now, I want to read some posts from people. So I posted that picture of the IMDb of Billy's face for this episode. And Gazpacho wrote, "Freaking Billy." Viv the Explorer wrote, "Billy has that bleh uselessness that never goes away. Bye, Billy." Cobra 24 wrote, "Yo! Billy is a super buster. He started off cool, and don't get me started on Marble Mouth Allison." I don't know what Marble Mouth means.
But I get it, because she is like... get it.
Don't get me started on Marble Mouth Allison. Let me see if there's any more cool comments. This shit is so funny. Like, guys, just hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At Melrose Pod, and we will read your shit because it's funny. Here's a good thread. Here's some more comments on Facebook. Shayna, she wrote, "Ugh, Billy." And Gazpacho on Facebook wrote, "That's the perfect picture of Billy. He always looks lost and stupid." Vivian wrote, "Ew, Billy. Bye, Felicia." And then Anthony Farrell, he wrote, he posted a GIF and was like, "We are all Allison in this GIF."
Oh, God.
It's like, it's Allison sobbing profusely and Billy like consoling her. Ugh.
So, guys, we got a new review on Apple Podcasts by DJ Dossier27. And they say, "So cool, love this show. I love your podcast. I grew up watching the show and just started rewatching on Hulu. You guys are so funny. I'm on episode 17 of season 2. A lot is going on, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Keep up the good work."
Thank you so much for that review. You're awesome.
Thank you, DJ. We can't wait. We're only on episode 10 of season 2. I can only imagine where we're going to be in 7 episodes. Cannot wait to cover it. And if you haven't yet left us a review on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to do that. We will read it on the show.
And give us a review. Email us.
Every review helps.
We got an email, too. We got an email from Nicole. She writes, "Love the show. listen every Tuesday.
Yay!
Melrose is a show you can simultaneously obsess over and make fun of. You do it well. Just listen to Married to It. And Melrose is in my top five TV shows, but Seinfeld is number one. I referenced George quitting his job and coming back like nothing happened. But that was in season two when he worked at Rick Barr Properties, not at the Yankees.
Oh.
So I was wrong. I got it all mixed up. Where he got the job at the Yankees in the season finale of the fifth season. And I said George was able to play it off, but his boss actually humiliated him, and then George slipped him a Mickey. You seemed confident in your statement, so I felt compelled to set you straight, but not in a shitty way. And they signed it, Billy Sucks.
And you know what, guys? We're not experts. We don't know what we're talking about half the time. So if we do say something that's wrong,
tell me.
All, like, hit us up, set us straight.
I mean, I watch a shit ton of TV, so it's all meshed into one thing. So I just thought George worked for the Yankees like all the time, or Art Vandalay Industries. But thanks for the email, Nicole. And I hope you keep listening and accept my sincere apology for screwing up my Seinfelds.
Guys, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for listening. As a reminder, we are on Patreon if you want to support our little show and get some bonus content.
Give us a buck, man.
Fun little goodies that could be coming your way. We would really, really appreciate that.
Flick us a buck. Four quarters.
Four quarters. That's
100 pennies. Fuck
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, we love you all. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
We love Smut.